And as it can only be the, so it takes it to be, this is the support, because in Barsheva you have Kino Yisgiru, there was no Kino Yisgiru. That's the first question that Gemara asks. Ask the Gemara, the Tisbara, and do you think Maaseshe Hoya Bekino Yisgiru, that Maaseshe, that the incident of Barsheva was with Stigmi Kino Yisgiru Haber? The ode, and furthermore, me osruo, did they forbid Barsheva to do it? Yeah. Even if there would have been, had there been Kinui Uskiro, then it means she would have become prohibited to her husband. As soon as she is prohibited to her husband, she is prohibited to the Barel, to the one who caused her to be prohibited to her husband. So, and we know that David married her afterwards. So there couldn't have been the way you said it. The Aud Mi Asura, did they make her Asura to David? Yes, no, I'm sorry, Rashi says Aruria. Mi Asura, did they prohibit her to, if there would have been Kinui Stiro, then you, Rabbeinu, also says that's the way you prohibit to your wife. She didn't become prohibited to Uriah. How do we know that she didn't become prohibited to Uriah? Because she was able to marry Dobby. So she didn't become prohibited to Uriah. Answers the Gemara Holo Kasha. It's not a question. Hovika Omar. This is what Rabbeinu also means. Philip, this is our first step after the analysis. So after the analysis we see that it's not as we thought the statement was. Now the Gemara rephrases the statement, reworks the statement. This is what Rabbi Elazar said. Ein o isho neferes al balo er al iske kinu yustiro. Mi maase shehoyo. We've got an indirect proof from Bathsheba. The Lehavi Kinu Yisgiru, there wasn't Kinu Yisgiru, the Lehavi Yisgiru, and she did not become prohibited to Uriah. Fine. So it at least settles the second part of it.
The way we read the statement was that Rabbeinu also says the only way a woman can become prohibited to her husband is with Kinui Yisgiru. The proof we've got, because that is what happened in the case of Bathsheba. So the Gemara says, but in case of Bathsheba, she didn't become prohibited to her husband. So where's your proof? He said, no, that's not what he means. He means it because it didn't happen. But in the case of Bathsheba, she did not become prohibited to him. That's what he means. You've got the proof that you need Kinui Yisgiru. Because in the case of Bathsheba, we know that she had an association with David. David knows that she had an association with her. And yet, she did not become prohibited. Why? Not because there wasn't Kinui Yisgiru. So the mere fact that she did not become prohibited is a proof to us that the only way you can become prohibited is through Kinui Yisgiru. You understand? It's not a proof. It's a support. It's to lend credence to his argument.
It helps because
why didn't David, why didn't she become prohibited to David? If you would have asked David what happened to David would have said, this was a woman who tried it and I had an association with her. This happened. She doesn't become a sinner. So, why, this is what Rabbi Oza says, why not? He says there wasn't Kinui Yisgiru, and come
It wasn't King Yusiro. So we can see that she didn't become prohibited to him. So he says there wasn't, now we're going to ask, but there were other things that were making. There were other reasons, but at least so far we've got, we're doing an analysis, we take it step by step. Yes, Michael.
I was just going to say, probably the problem would be the Kinoe, wouldn't it?
Thank you very much.
I'm sorry, it's more likely in this situation that what was lacking would have been the Kinoe, rather than the Stira. I mean,
yes, that's right. We've got to have both. You're quite right. Stira, there might have been witnesses for
Stira. There's really better Kinoe.
But isn't it? Good
if there was a Kinoe, you mean to call him over.
Yes.
When they first say Rabbi Elazar is this statement here, and then when they rephrase it, they both direct quotes. The first, because they change, everything's the same except for the top one. The earlier one says Ukamas Shahayam, this one says Mimas Shahayam.
Yes, that's right.
Now, are these both direct quotes? Or
no.
I mean, where's Mas Shahayam? Does that come from the Gemara, or does that come from Rabbi Elazar?
That's not Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar, he said, that what the Gemara explains is Rabbi Elazar, what Uch and like was still like that incident. He says, it's from that incident that you can see you mean it. That's all. He just rephrases it. But that's exactly what Rabbi Elazar means.
But did Rabbi Elazar say...
Rabbi Elazar says, Uch and like was
Shehoyu.
Okay.
He
says,
the Gemara rephrases it.
There's a... Rabbi Elazar is really drawing here on what they call a Mishenet Kaner Rasut, on a broken reed. Because even if he had to sit, first place, we're not told that Uri ever came back.
So well, that's
another, furthermore, I think that Uriah, who was subject to the king, and she is subject to the king, he is not going, he has no position to tell his wife, to order his wife not to obey a summons of the king. So that's already on us to start with, and
we know we're near there. We know we're near there.
But
you are looking up at the answers and you say, they're the answers.
No, I'm sorry, but
we want to we want to work it out. We don't want to just look up and do the see, there's the answer. We want to work it out. Well, yeah, yeah, look up, here's the answer, you take another book and here's the method. We want to work it out, so we're working it out.
Okay.
Step by step, that's right. David, did you want to ask?
Yes. Wouldn't the case be, though, that if somebody is boiled in anxious dish, that she becomes usher to him?
Yes, but let us just see what happens. We don't know enough yet. Let's just see what happens. You see, we don't know enough yet. Yes?
I understand the argument, but it seems to me that, you know, say if I was married and not, my wife, I found out my wife had a relationship, it would be wrong without my having given her Kinoe, because it's wrong. It's not something that she needs.
Yes, but the thing is, but he wants to forgive her. Wants to forgive her. If there's been Kinoe, Stiros, there's Rabbi Elazar, it's not a question of forgiving her. You can't. Can't do it. Right? There there was no Kinoe Yisteiro, and she did not become prohibited to her husband. Asks the Gemara Mikomoyakom Kasha. Nevertheless, there's a Kasha. You say Kinoe Yisteiro Ein and Pesach Pesuach Lev. I mean, that is what you are really saying. You saying that from statement number 2 of Rabbi Elazar, I know that Kinoe Yisteiro is the method by which a woman becomes prohibited to her husband. Pesach Pesuach Lev. Clear? That's your question. This is a fine thing. V'litam Eichen, according to you, Kinoe Yisteiro Ein. If there is Kinoe and Yisteiro, then a woman becomes prohibited to her husband. Aiding love. And if two witnesses were to come and say, we, about Kinoe, we know nothing. We don't know whether there was Kinoe or not. circumstances where there wasn't kindred. All we can tell you is that we were interested. We went to look through the window. And so, these two were in association with one another. So, according to Rabbi Elazar, does that mean to say that she's permitted to her husband because there wasn't kingly?
Mm-hmm.
See, that's mad. You can't say that. That you certainly can't say. You've got to say that where there are witnesses, so we see that we can't take Rabbi Elazar number two to mean that Eno Isho Neaseris Arbalo Eron Iske King Skiro means literally
only
that the only way in which a woman can become prohibited to a husband is Kim Skiro, because you've got to say that with two witnesses who saw the act itself, you've got to say that she becomes a Suro. So therefore he means something else. So let us think what it is that he can mean. Just let us finish this first now. And according to you, Kinu Yistira ain't Adim low? You say, Kinu Yistira, yes. Pesach Pesuach, and according to you, Adim also not? Elo, but Hochi Komar. This is what he means to say, says the Gemara. And now, through our analysis, we are getting it straight. What he says, like, is as follows. Eino Isho Neaseris Albalo Be'eit Echo. A woman does not become prohibited to her husband through one witness. Elo bishnei edim, but only through two witnesses. There can be no question about that. That he's got to admit to. The kinu is tiro afilu ba'edecho. And where there's been kinu is tiro, that is two witnesses who were for the kinu, two witnesses who were for the stiro, and one witness looked through the window and he saw the act, then afilu beit echod nami, then it can be with one witness also. Then with one witness. Why? Because they are raglaim bedohot. The thing has already got feet. It already is enough there to make it move, you see. There's kinu and there's stiro. And now there's one witness who actually saw the act fine. Pesach posuach kishnei edim domi, and where the man says Pesach posuach, that has the strength of two witnesses, only with regard to himself. That has the strength of two witnesses. That is the point that he's
making.
Oh, now the whole thing comes clear now. So now we've got a very clear statement. If you take Rabbi Elazar altogether, the whole of Rabbi Elazar, what does he say? Number one, he says, where there are two witnesses, there is no doubt that she becomes a suitor to him. There's no question about it. Then we say, where there is the cases where she can become a surety, where there is, but even in one case of one witness, she can also become a surety to him. How? Where there is kinui ustiro, and then one witness, she also becomes a surety. Case number two. Case number three, where there are no witnesses, but he himself is absolutely certain. Then she becomes a surah to him through a sophic. Those, says Rabbi Elazar, are the three cases in which she becomes a surah to him.
If you understand all the cases, but how about where you just have, as you were pointing out earlier, the case where they go into a hotel room. There is no way, either one or two, to the association,
yes,
but there are witnesses to them going into the room.
We're going to still discuss it. So far, we have come to the conclusion that is not sufficient. There, one witness is sufficient there, but you've got to see the act. Well, they say the trade chess.
Okay. Well, In other words, I understand.
You follow him. Yeah. But I want you just to notice how it's built up. Two witnesses, no question.
Right.
One witness, yes, but when his kingry is still. Even no witnesses where he himself says, Pesa Pesuah Matsosi, then because of the shot of suffering.
Kinui Sirah are connected elements, the way they're presented here. But if you have a situation where you there's no Kinui, there's the Sirah, but no witness to the act itself, just the, you know, they come up with their arguments about the game of chess, there is any number of witnesses that they went into the room. We have Sirah without Kinui and no witness to the act. Is she forbidden?
We have
Sirah without Kinui,
yes,
and but no witness to the act itself.
No.
So we don't have that sort.
Even if there's Kinui and Sirah and no witnesses at all, not even one, Rabbi also says she doesn't. We still can't examine this. But that is as far as we've got. But it's very clear. You see how clear it is. Don't forget, the Gemara is always absolutely clear. If it's not clear, we don't understand. But the Gemara, it can't be clearer than the Gemara. You can't go wrong on a piece of Gemara. That is why halacha is so important. One dare not do kabbalah unless one knows halacha. Because if you know halacha, if you kabbalah, if you don't know halacha, it becomes mysticism immediately. But if you've got your halacha, you check up on everything, you can't go wrong. It's so, unless you don't know everyone. Sometimes it takes long to work out, and it's a difficult piece of Gemara to work out what the whole approach is, but we've got an approach that goes clean through with rightly. I'm sorry, who wanted to ask?
I am the president.
Yes, I'm coming to you. Yes.
Okay, I've got a problem now. I mean, okay, we've got. I'm trying to figure out who it is that's going to the base in the cases of Kinui and Astira.
The husband.
It would be, the witnesses would come to the husband and say, this is
well,
the
case. Well, now they will be, we can basically do away with the preliminary.
Well, I mean, if the husband wants to not have an association with his wife, he could give her a gift. So yes. We're assuming that he wants
but
to keep his wife.
He wants the thing done according to the law. According to the correct way. So he comes to the Vestin and there are his Ede Kinui, there are Ede Stiro, and there's one witness who saw the act. So she becomes a super sister, I mean, also.
Okay, now what about her Ketuba in this case?
Ah.
I mean, going back to the Rashi you were discussing. Where we bring up the
She loses. The only question is where there is one witness for the student. That's the question where she loses. There she is the question.
So,
in the case of two witnesses, no question, she loses. She loses. But that's not the point that we are going to discuss now. We want to get Rabbi Elazar straight.
Yeah, I'm just trying to understand who the people that Rabbi Elazar is talking about and what they want.
So all you've got to know is two witnesses, no question to use it. Because two witnesses means there's no question that there was right. Where there's one witness, it's a question. Do we say that one witness is like two witnesses because the other? This is a question. I don't have to go into it this moment. Yes?
Rabbi Elazar, I may be holding some muddles, but is Rabbi Elazar holding that Eid Echad Nemans only in the case of Ladover?
Only where they're blind, Ladover.
In other words, he's not holding as we held up above.
But no, at this of Pesuah, he says, got another means like two witnesses.
I see, so, okay.
Is it where there is Kinui Ustiro and one witness? We say she becomes prohibited to her husband.
Right.
Where there are two witnesses, of course. Where where they steal, you steal it can be even with one witness.
Because of a blind dog.
Or that blind dog. Where it is he himself, it shall be alai sakikhadi surah, only with regard to himself.
Oh, I see. So in other words, he would still rub it out.
Oh, yes.
Still hold that the, it's...
Yes. Oh, he doesn't. We don't go away from the first Rabbil Ozer. But now we've resolved the whole case. We've taken Rabbil Ozer as one piece and we've resolved the whole thing.
So the question of aid empire with Rabbi Lazar would apply if the aid was someone other than the...
Oh, of course. Not the husband. Not really, he can't do it. Very, very good point. If the husband is the one who sees, then he can't go. Then it's got to go altogether a different way.
The husband says what?
Then it's got to go in a different way. The only way that can go is if the husband himself comes to believe, but I saw it was in front of my eyes. So then we would say, all right, you are believed as far as you yourself is concerned, but you're not believed as far as you've got to give her a kasuba, that's all. But only as far as you yourself is concerned. Mm-hmm. Then we would do it that way, you see, to the same principle.
And that would affect whether or not she got her guest.
Oh,
that would affect whether or not she got her guest. In other words, if we go by Rabbi Lazar and we use Adepud, then she wouldn't get her guest.
Oh, she did get it, she wouldn't get it.
I mean, she wouldn't get it.
Probably not. Probably not. It's debatable. It's debatable what is the strength, what does the one witness do here, you see? It's a little bit debatable. I don't want to go into this is a new area again. Yes.
Yeah, I've got two questions. One is something you may have just left off on. What difference would that one aid make with regard that he saw the act itself? In other words, wouldn't Kinui and Stira, two aidim for both Kinui and Stira, make her osra to him at this point?
No.
They would not?
No. Huh. Kinui and Stira pass aid echot.
I think we learned...
No, they're in
such a... What did he also?
Yes. We learned from Alan Anderberg that once there's two witnesses on Kinui and Stira, she becomes a sota.
That's another thing. A sota means that she drinks.
Right. She becomes also to him also.
No. She drinks, but she doesn't become a sura to him.
She does not become a sota.
She only becomes a sura to him.
In the meantime,
she drinks the mind maror maror. Just let us leave her.
Okay.
Because it's not present. I want to get
her
in the peace of Gomorrah. Yes.
Then maybe I have a general question about something you said.
We'll say it quickly.
Okay.
How could that have been wrong?
So you said that if they saw two agents saw Stira, and then they went a little further, okay,
yes.
And they actually saw what was going on over there. Is one permitted to do that?
Is one permitted to do?
In other words, if I see a married woman, I see her with another man, am I allowed to follow her just to make sure that they're not going to do something wrong? Am I permitted to do that?
And you don't even know if Kino Esther was married.
By seeing it, you don't make any difference to the case, then you're certainly not allowed to do it. You follow?
In other words, if there weren't two, if there was somebody else with me?
If just on your own, it's not going to make any difference. You can't do anything. Then you're not allowed to do it. You look at if you don't want to let us say there was no Kinui or Stira.
Right.
And you see these two going down, you want to see, you follow them. So for what purpose? What are you following? For what purpose?
It's two witnesses.
But he's the husband, but he's buying out. So what purpose is it?
Uh-huh.
No, he's asking okay, whether well, there was two witnesses.
Now, there is a Gemara in Sanhedrin that deals with that it is wrong if a person is a single witness and he can't do anything, then it's wrong for him to set the case in motion. He can't do anything in any case.
But if he knows he's been Kinui, then he...
If there's been Kinui and Stira, that's a different thing.
Then is one obligated then to follow something?
Yes, then one is obligated, but always with a reservation.
What's the reservation?
The reservation is he's not going to get a lot of honor from looking at it.
Uh-huh.
He's going to get pain from looking at it.
But he is required to
yeah.
But the key is still we're talking about is public knowledge.
If he's going to enjoy it, yeah. then he leaves it alone. But if it's going to pain him, then he can go. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Right. Then we can go on. Anyway.
This is a variation on this, whether it's not sold by itself, but it's
is
all
it,
it's
what?
It's not just sold by himself, you know, this is married when it's sold, it's really is sitting in the park, it's with his 2 a.m.
if they do it,
and they do it on the same
only for reasons of purity, and before there can be purity, there's got to be cleanliness. There's got to be cleanness, not cleanliness. There's got to be cleanness before they do it. And if they do it out of cleanness and out of purity, that is what they do it. And in order to avoid the breakdown of Jewish family life, that is in their kavonah, then they are obliged. It pains them. And if they get a thrill out of it, enjoy it, not allowed to.
Forfeit your righteousness.
The chi teimor, ask the Gemara. The chi teimor mipnei, the chi teimor ma'o. The chi teimor ma'ase shehoyo mipnei ma'lo osruo. And if you will say that the ma'ase shehoyo, that is the ma'ase of Bathsheba, why didn't they prohibit her to do it?
There were a lot of people in this though.
Why didn't they prohibit her to dove it? Yes. Says Rashi, Shehare Eidim Harbe Yodu. Many witnesses knew about it. So why didn't they prohibit her to dove it?
Many of them knew about what?
What happened there?
But you mean before Uriah's death?
I mean, pardon?
Before or is that about their association?
Yeah, sure.
Well, it's a difficult question, isn't it?
Yes. Was there Kinoi? Was there Shrew?
Oh, very good. For that, we've got to look at the Tosfos. The last Tosfos on the page, we name Ma Lo Osrua. Pire Shakuntis Vahala Osa Maidi Maisim Ba'edim Hava. That Maisim was Ba'edim. Asks Tosfos, says Tosfos for a mirror, he says Tosfos, I don't like this at all. The Meridi Yoduela Rabbi Mahavesh Ebio Leveso. What did the many people know? What did the witnesses know? That he invited her to her house, to his home, to his palace. He knows that she went to her palace, to his palace. That's what they know. What else do they know? Mikomokum Lero U Kemak Helbeshofer Ferris. But they didn't see the sword in the shield. So how can she become a Surah? So even if they saw them go into a room and they closed the door behind them, how can the Chachomim answer her? How can she be? How can they say she is not allowed to live with Uriah, and she's not allowed to live with David? How can they say it? She if they aidim lo shimish, you think that he actually lived with her in front of witnesses? Do you think that people came into the bedroom? That's nonsense. So, what does it mean? The Gemara asks, why didn't they prohibit it? You understand what I'm saying, David?
Mm-hmm.
You say yes just because you want to please me, or you're yes. All right. The Mire Le Ri answers the Ri Le Faresh. This is the way the Ri explains it. Now, the Ri is a very important Baratesis. They're all important Baratesis. Says the intel of the Pesach Pesuach is Shnei Do'edim Domi. If you will say that Pesach Pesuach is like Shnei Do'edim, Amai Lo Osrua Le Dovid, why didn't they make her prohibited to David? The David or you the day of the violation, Mivalo. He says the question of the Gemara is like this. Said, now look here. We've established what Rabbeinu also says. Rabbeinu also says that a woman can become prohibited to her husband through two witnesses. Fine. A woman can become prohibited to her husband through Kinuis, Kino, and one witness. Fine. A woman can become prohibited to her husband through Peter Pesua. What does Peter Pesua mean? She move, as Rashi said, Zeus Berurolo. This is absolutely certain to him. He found the place of Pesuach. The Gemara says, right, there weren't two witnesses. Good. There wasn't Kimon Iskir and one witness. Good. But look what there was. Does David know that he had an association with her?
Yes.
He knows. Isn't this the same as Pesach Pesuach Matzosi? He knows he had an association with her. So if he knows he has an association with her, if we would say, David, the truth, the nothing but the truth, and in addition to that, the whole truth, did you live with her or not? Say yes, I did. So you know that you lived with her. So how can she live, how can he afterwards marry her? It's the same as Pesach Pesuach Matzosi, and she be near on the Usrullah. He has said that he's lived with her the same thing. That's what the Gemara answers his thesis. Actually, it's in the Rashi that is what Rashi actually says. Omer, because Rashi says, this time he says, it doesn't say, doesn't say about Uriah. It says, "Mipnei Malo Osrua Al David, Sheare Edim Harbe Yodu." Because many it says, this is many people knew about it, and as far as he himself is concerned, it should be Pesach Pesuach. But it's good to learn like Tosfos. Mipnei asks the Gemara that he came on Ma'aseh Sheharim Mipnei Malo Osrua. And in Maisa of Basheva that took place, why didn't the Chachomim prohibit her to David? Answers the Gemara, Hosam Ones Haba. There it was an Ones.
That was honest because of his authority as a king.
Yes, that is an onus. If a king says, if a king makes a command, there is a law that one can't refuse it. It's a disobeying the command of a king is brought to the death sentence.
Anything?
Or
Israel?
Well, I mean, you've got the same thing with Ashpenazi and Esther.
Yeah.
For the same person. That is onus. Where a king gives a command, you know, a king isn't like the queen of England today. And a king isn't like President Carter. Or President Reagan, even. Yes.
Okay. We know that one of the things you're supposed to give your life for is Gluya rights.
Yes.
Now, how can there be onus in that kind of situation? In other words, if Bathsheba is a Bas Yisrael,
at the same thing.
You know, though, we actually had this case
when the camp
was coming on the testers. But now, please, you mustn't be distressed when I'm saying to you, because this is all part of the learning process. When I did this testers with you, it was about Gimel on the day, that was the very beginning. When I did the space office, it only, what I said, went through the ears, only into the brain. It didn't go any further, it didn't even go to the mind, you see. Which is understandable, you see. That's part of the learning process. That's the breakthrough. First, you've got to break through the brain. It's much more difficult to break through from the brain into the mind than it is to break the sound barrier. When it's much more difficult.
You never even baked the sound very much. It's a difficult thing to break through. Anyway, but now you can see that you've broken through. The law is like this. And I'm just touching on it because there are lots of parts to it. In a deal, who is the active agent and who is the passive agent?
The male,
exactly. That's excellent. She is a passive agent. She is karka ela. That's the technical phrase. Karka ela. Karka ela means she's like earth. Unless you till that, you do something to the earth, it's nothing. If you want a thing to grow, you've got to start, you've got to dig it up, you've got to put in a seed, you've got to cover it up, you've got to water it. She is only karka ela. The law of Yehore, the Al-Ya'avel, applies to a man because he is an active agent. But she, it's done to her, she doesn't do it. She can be a passive agent.
She does not have to give up her life when a man comes to her and says, you're married, but I still want to have an association.
Jewish women do give up their lives. But they give up their lives, lifni mishulas, you know, kiddush Hashem. They give up their lives in kiddush Hashem. They could get away with it. They could get away with it. Because of Shalka Olam.
We learn this in the context of the Roman governors.
Yes, that's right, that's right, that's right. That the Gemara asked that question. The Gemara asks that question. But as I said, I'm very glad you see, so even then it already went into the brain. Yeah. So yes, ask the Gemara. The Midrash Yehuda only is shorty, and let us teach them that it is permitted to do it for them because they are forced. I, it's Yehoreg Vayavo, that's the closest because it's Karka, because they are passive agents. Answers the Gemara, Ika Frutzes be Ika Nami Kahanas. First of all, if she's an HS Kohen, it doesn't matter, but that doesn't matter. And others, it comes out that, and then the Gemara comes to this conclusion that in any case they will do it. The Tznuas, even if you tell them that it's permitted, they weren't allowed to do themselves.
And what are the consequences if the Jewish woman actually goes willingly or even asks for the association?
Then she's a suitor to her husband.
Then she's a
suitor to her husband. All right.
To the other man.
The father.
Who tries to persuade her.
She's a suitor to her husband. Yeah. Right. Now, the fourth line from the bottom of the page. Ask the Gemara, then why didn't they make her osur on David? Because David himself knows what happened. It's not worse than Pesach Pesuach. It's he is believed on himself. Answers the Gemara, osur ones haba. There was an ones, she was false. So therefore, once she is false, she is not prohibited. It's not her fault.
That's so backwards. Because the king is the one who forced her.
Right. But she was
forced. Now he gets the benefit of the fact that she so was forced.
Well, that's a bit of
seems like he's treading a very thin line.
The boy's aim, and if you want to, you can say, Ki hodu omar abi shmur bar nachmoni omar abi yonoson. It's according to what Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani said in the name of Rabbi Yehoshua, all our Yotze Lemelchem space, Rabbi Ket Krisus Kosev Le'ishto. Anybody who went out to war in the time of King David, and it was in the time of King David that they made this law, what did he do? he would write a debt for his wife in case he didn't come back. In case he didn't come back and they didn't know whether he was dead, what happened to him, he would write a debt for his wife. Dichsiva es achecho tifkod lesholom ve es arubo som tikach, where Yishai, the father of David, sends David to his brothers, and he says to him, go and get the arubo of your brothers. My, there is arubo som tikach, go and take the arubo. Toni Rav Yosef devorim amurovim beino lebeino. Take away the kedushin. That means, see that they give a get to their wives, so that if anything happens to them in war, then their wives don't remain agunos, and their wives can be married. So, Uriah gave his wife a get, and Uriah didn't come back from the war. That means that at the time, and when was the get given? It was given, as we learned before, it was given that is, let it be a gift from today if he doesn't come back after the war.
Even though he's still alive at the time of the association.
So then it becomes a gift, otherwise you can't work it.
But then he gets killed because of the reunification.
We'll see about that. But so anyway,
the benefit of having caused
that is the one pshat. That is Rashi's pshat. The Rabbeinu Tam learns it, and we'll get it in Tosfos. The Rabbeinu Tam learns it that they gave an outright get to the war. When they went out to war, they gave an outright get. You follow? Gave an outright get. And when they came back, they remarried. But they gave an outright get.
Will that be a problem?
Right.
I do.
So right. You gave
it. You're allowed to remarry a woman you've given a get to?
Yes. So you have to marry you in the middle, and as long as he's got a go.
Right.
Are we calling?
Are they calling that he go out to war?
There's a code. So that is the way. If it will work at that way, then that'll be this. But now I want to go through the story what was that?
We were saying how much we enjoy, we're enjoying ourselves.
That's not what you were saying. That's like playing chess.
We in fact were saying that. Yeah. Pardon me for contradicting you.
Now,
he was the one who was there.
Yeah.
I'll look yourself or you believe.
Now I want to go through this chapter with you in Shmuel. I just want to tell you know this. After the story of Bathsheba, David HaMelech marries Bathsheba, and he has a son. That son dies, but he has another son. That son is Shlomo HaMelech. So that son becomes his successor. David HaMelech is not allowed to build the base of Mikdash. But that son builds the base of Mikdash. That son is the link between all the kings of Judah right until the destruction of the first temple. All descendants of David HaMelech. And Hashem promises David HaMelech that the dynasty will always be his. And so it was till the very end. The very last king was a direct descendant of David HaMelech. And it goes further than that. when Moshiach comes and we take up the threads again, who will it be?
Esther.
Still the descendants of Dovid. That is the greatness of Dovid HaMelech. If what Dovid HaMelech did was so wasn't, as some people think it is, and as other people would like to think it is, you think that that would have been, Hashem would have done that to Dovid HaMelech. Couldn't have been. There must have been something else to it. Must have been something else. Just let us see what it says. Now, the story goes on like this. You can interrupt me as I go along. Vayehi l'sushuvasav shono le'es seis hamelochim vayishlach Dovid es yoho ves avodob imo ves kol Yisrael vayashchisu es b'nei amo vayotsuru al rabo v'Dovid yushev b'Yerushalayim. The Tanakh starts by telling us that it became at the return of the year at the time when that the time that the kings go out, that Dovid, that is the time this was in the spring,
time for war.
Is it a good time for war? By Yishlach Dovid is Yehovah's Avodov Imovis Kolis for Ever Yashkis is B'nai Amel. Sent them out and they carried on war with Amel. By Yotsuru al Rabo and they besieged Rabo, the Dovid Yoshev Birushaloim and Dovid dwells in Jerusalem. That is said there as a criticism of Dovid HaMelech. They are all out there, and he's sitting, and it's already they besieging the city, and there's a war on, and he is sitting in Jerusalem. Well, you know, when a person does wrong, it's surprising what opportunities immediately present themselves to do wrong. It's surprising. When a person is doing good, it's unbelievable of the opportunities that immediately present themselves to him. What is the time that Dovid arose from his couch, Vayisalech al Gad Beis HaMelech, and he goes and takes a walk on the roof of the house of the king. Vayar Ishor el Chetzes me'al hakol. And from there he sees a woman bathing. The whole Isho Tevas Mare Ma'ed. And the woman was very goodly to the man.
How could he have seen?
He didn't go to war when he should have gone to war. One, if you do wrong, immediately wrong presents itself.
But she was.
And
excuse me, but we understand. Why am I jumping the gun? She was in the Mecca, correct?
Yes.
That's always done in a situation where you can be absolutely sure of complete privacy.
Yes.
So, how do you see it?
Okay. Buckingham Palace has got a huge wall down. They discovered that there was a hotel in Park Lane, and that a couple of people had actually rented a room there and rigged up telescopes and all sorts of things and had a view right down into Buckingham Palace. There's a big wall there up there on the roof of the King's Palace. Who's getting it? legs of the vessel. This was right down below with the wall around it.
If you want to see, you'll see.
Vayishlach David vayidrosh lo isha. And David sent and he made inquiries about who the woman is. Is she married? Is she not married? Vayomer alo zos basheva bas elikom eishes uriyahiti. And they said that it was Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliom, the Chiti, the wife of Uriah the Chiti. Now, Eliom was a son of Achisophel. If you don't know who Achisophel is, then it doesn't matter, then just leave it, you see. He was a son of Achisophel, and this was his daughter, which means she was a grandchild of Achisophel, the wife of Uriahim. Vayishlach David Malochim Vayikocheo, and David sent messengers, and they took her. So the messengers knew already. The messengers knew. Vatovo Elov, and she came to him. Vahishkav Imo, and he slept with her. But the Tanakh is very quick to tell us that he miskadeshes mitumoso, but she had become cleansed from her impurity. Let's come to the eagles here, otherwise I won't get through this. But Toshov El Beso, and then she returns to her house.
But it was the first thing that she came.
Because that is when she was bathing there, they tell us that she is that she wasn't a needle.
Oh, so it wasn't that bad.
Well, she wasn't a leader.
Well,
is it the thing is, according to the Gemara, she wasn't an Ashkenazi. Yes? What do you want to say?
If she wasn't an Ashkenazi, I'm troubled by the fact that David had to ask if she was. David just asked who she was, he didn't ask if she was.
Well, we've got to assume that he wanted to know whether she was a married woman or a Pnuyo.
Could he not assume that the fact that she was open at that time unmarried
and also went to Lick. That time, until comparatively recently, yes. Right until the time of the Liborcha, which was about 700 years ago. At least, perhaps even after that. Yes, Vatoshov Erbeso, and she returned to her house. Vataro Ishan, the woman conceived, Vatishlach Vatar gave it David, and she sent and she told David, Vatomer Poro Onochi. And she said, I am with child. Vahishlach David El Yero, and David sent to Yero, Shlach Eli es Uriyo Hachiti. Send to me Uriyo Hachiti. Vayishlach Yoav es Uriyo David the California. Vayishlach Yoav es Uriyo el David, and Yoav sent Uriyo to David. Vayobel Uriyo Elov, and Uriyo came to him. Vayish al David lishlom Yoav, lishlom Oav. David asks about the welfare of Yoav and the welfare of the people. Velishloma milchamo, and how the war is progressing. Vayomer David Uriyo, and David said to Uriyo, Reid lebeizecho urchatzraglecho. Go home and wash your feet. Now, why should he go wash his feet?
In other words, basically trying to get Uriah to go have an association with the wife so he appoints the child so he can claim responsibility for the child.
I mean, but if you would say to me, go to the hotel and wash your face, that is my face dirty. You say that. Then why must I wash my face?
That's an idiom for when somebody comes from a
no,
trip.
It's not. He said to him, he came not properly dressed.
came directly to David without going home first.
Out going home as a first, he came directly to David without washing himself, and he comes, he's dust. Don't wash your feet. He's full of dust. He shouldn't have come to David like that. Vayetze Uriah mibeis ha-melech, vayetze acharo masas ha-melech. And David sends after him, David sends a food for him. Food, and he sends it to the house, because he thinks he's going to the house. Vayishkav Uriah pesach beis ha-melech es kol avdei adonov. And Uriah slept that night at the entrance of the king's palace together with the officers of the king, with the employees of his master. Below Yorad El Beiso, and he didn't go down to his house. In other words, he disobeyed David. He disobeyed David. Vayagidu le David lemor, and they told it to David, saying, "Lo yorad Uriah beiso." Uriah didn't go home. Vayomer David el Uriah, and Uriah said to him, "David, halo miderech atovo, madu lo yorad Uriah beiso. You came from the way. Why didn't you go home?" Vayomer Uriah el David, and says Uriah el David, Ho Oreu the Yisroel Vihudo Yoshvi Basukas. The Ark and Israel and Yehudo are dwelling in booths. Va'adoni Yoav, and my master Yoav, the Avde Adoni, and the servants of my master are Pnei Hatzon Echonim, are camping at the feet. Va'ani ovo el beisi ve'echol v'lishtos v'lishkavim ishti, and I will go home and eat and drink and lie with my wife. Chayecho, by your life, v'chei nafshecho, and by the life of your soul, and by im e'eses ha'dover hazeh, I will not do this.
Could he have gone home if they had been? He had already given her a get. I mean, would that be permitted?
If it is like Rashi, then certainly.
Because
it's a conditional get. If it's like Rashi, if he doesn't come home, then it's a get retrospectively or retroactively. So according to Rashi, it's about, according to Tosfos, it's about, but what if you could, we'll see how Tosfos learns. But according to Rashi, it works out well.
Yes? Is disobeying in order of
the Hanoah? Isn't this kind of the admirable thing he said? But not only is he disobeying the order of David HaMelech, who said, go home and wash your feet, not only is he disobeying, but look what he says. He says, "Ho Oron v'Yisroel v'Yudah Yoshvi Basukas." What would you think of Job if I said to Job, "Job, why don't you take off your jacket?" And Job said, "I'm sitting in front of the Gemara, and I'm listening to a shiur, and I'm learning, and I, by my life and by your life, I will take off my jacket and I will take off my tie." What will you think of him?
Throw him out.
My criticism of all of us.
No. It's an impertinence. Even if that is the way you feel, you say, "I'm not hot."
as I said, I am sitting with the African cat. Everybody has left. And he says, why not? He says, I'm feeling it. Look what he says. The Ark, do you think Dobby doesn't know what the Ark is? And he was wrong there. Because this isn't the Orem the Schneider first Abris. This is a different order. He says, and Israel and Yehuda are intense. Expect me to. And David is there. So in other words, he is insulting David Amel. And he says, Vadoni Yoav and my master Yoav. When he's speaking to the king, who is his master?
Okay.
The king. He says, my master Yoav. He should have said, the Abdecho Yoav and your servant Yoav and your officer Yoav. That's what he should have said. My master Yoav. And he says, the Avdei Adoni and the servants of my master. The soldiers, they do it. Look at the way he speaks to David HaMelech. And I will come to my house and I won't do this sort of thing, as if to say, you do it all. I don't do it. My master, you're not my master. Yoav is my master. There, this is a serious matter. But that is the way Uriah behaves to him. And that you mustn't lose sight of. And when the Chazal say that Uriah is a Molad Bamalchus, that's what it means. He disobeys the king. But it's more than he disobeys the king. Yes, Philip?
If you'll pardon my impertinence, granted that some of his language could have been better, the king of Israel is a man.
He's
like
a king
other
of Judah, by the way. You've got to make the distinction, yes.
Is a man like other men, obliged to the same law, obliged to fear Hashem and keep his law.
You see, you are under Californian influence. All people are cut down to size. And what is the size? The size is the lowest person here. Cut him down to size. It doesn't work like that. All people aren't equal. Nobody's equal. Nobody's equal. The king isn't like everybody else. By no means like everybody else. And David HaMelech certainly not.
So if your king does wrong, you should not point it out to him, or you should point it out more nicely?
How you put it out, it depends to him. Don't make an exhibition of it.
But
it's not the way you do it with anybody. You don't make a demonstration of it.
Didn't hear me yell and does he make a demonstration walking with a yoke through the streets of Jerusalem?
Oh, he was teaching the people. It was Yirmiyahu was teaching the people, not the people who were teaching Yirmiyahu.
But he was doing it in defiance of the king. He threw him in jail for it, right?
That he's a prophet. We've got afterwards Nosson comes and speaks to him. Speak, then it's all right.
Okay.
I mean, he's speaking, he's being Melchiah again. But this is a demonstration, it's an exhibition. It's an exhibition of insubordination.
The whole of
Uriah is an exhibition of insubordination. And then a demonstration of insubordination. Is that what they call it here, insubordination?
Does Uriah know about...
Philip, you've got there, you see what's happening here.
Yeah, there's some fine lines that I could use some more work on, but I get the basic idea.
That is it. Yes.
Does Urias know about the midwife association?
It doesn't tell us yet.
Many
it doesn't tell us. It doesn't tell us yet what he does. Yes.
But one assumes that David did not, in fact, do wrong in terms of the
arm.
Did he? I mean,
of the
arm,
certainly not.
In terms of what? In terms of the arm. In other words,
that
the Oren is there and he's here, that's what he's insinuating.
Yes.
But Uriah is doing the same thing that this woman did at my table, told me how much they enjoyed the vodka on Pesach. You follow? She had the wrong idea, she didn't know. So Uriah doesn't know, but he's assuming he doesn't know what the law is, but he's assuming he knows the law.
I'm making that point in response to Phillips, and yes, words, that the Warrior's criticism is not valid.
Of course not. Of course not.
Well, the Warrior's soul
is... The only thing that is valid is, where he makes it, that one would have expected Dobby to be at the front line. No, this time he's not at the front line. Yes,
in Bahrain we have Mishpat HaMelech and various things we're told of the Warrior, Bevel Nashim, etc. We have
yes,
that David is not in power. Is not, in other words, David is not, there is a basis for the criticism, in other words, in terms of the Mishpat HaMelech, what Philip is saying,
no,
that the king is limited by the Torah.
No, according, yes, he's limited, he can have 18 wives. David never exceeded that number. Never exceeded that number. David, from that point of view, didn't do anything wrong at all. There is only this, we just want to get, I just want to get through this, yes, Philip.
This kind of money you brought it up, you said it wasn't the Aron of the Levites,
yes,
yes. What Aron was it?
It was an Aron where they kept a Sefer Torah.
Okay.
You follow?
Alright.
An Aron where they kept a Sefer Torah. And that didn't have that team at all, it had a different years.
Are we saying that she had a guest on it?
We are saying, let us work it the easier way, because otherwise we'll come to the test, but we'll still get into it. That everyone who went to the war wrote a gift to his wife. Right. And as far as David's question was, in that case, how can Dobby tell him to go back? Okay, you go and wash your feet. Anyway, just let's go a bit further. Yomi Dovid and Uriah shaved for Zeh Gama Yomov, Umohor Ashar Chekov. He said, stay here also for today, and tomorrow I will send you. Vayeshev Uriah Bidushlam by Yomahu Umi Mohoros. Uriah stayed in Jerusalem that day and on the mark. Vayikro lo Dovid by Yochalapono. And though Dobit called him, and he ate before him, Vayesh, and he drank, Vayeshak Rehu, and he made him drunk. Dobit wants him to go home. And Dobit wants him to sleep with his wife. Why? What does Dobit want? No, David wants him to go home and sleep with his wife because Bathsheba is with the child. So obviously we've got to say that. Obviously he wants to cover up. He wants to cover up. Okay, how can David do a thing like this? How can he do a thing like this? Now look at the kilkul that came out of it. The damage. Look at the damage that has come out of it. First of all, it's his child and it will be thought to be Uriah's child. It means that this child might marry David and Melech's daughter. Just look at me, and he's, how can you do a thing like this? Just look at what it can be done. How can he do this? Now here comes an interesting conflict. Why does David HaMelech want to cover up now? We are working on the basis that it was given a gift. Why does he want to cover up? What is going to happen if it becomes known that she has a child and that he is the father of the child? Can you imagine what happens?
The soldiers would have been
this is a question of Chilul Hashem. Chilul Hashem of the worst possible kind. Chilul Hashem is bringing disgrace upon oneself, and by bringing disgrace upon oneself, you bring the whole Torah into disrepute, and you bring the whole kingship into disrepute. That is what he's doing. What it amounts to. There's another thing that makes it worse. If we would say this was a divorce that was given, if he doesn't come back, then it is a divorce retrospectively, retroactively. But if he does come back, it may mean that it's not a get. He's come back already. It may mean that it's not a get now. And that he writes it another get. He's come back. So it would have been much better if he wouldn't have tried to send him back again. It would have been much better. Why does he try and send him back? Here is a conflict. He has got to choose between. So if this man goes back, it means that retrospectively she's an HSE, she was a married woman. And it means that he was involved with a married woman, which is a very, very serious matter. If he is involved with a married woman, what is it, what is the sin here?
No.
But it's his sin.
Yes.
If it is a Chilul Hashem, if it comes out that this child is his child, it's a Chilul Hashem, and what suffers? Everything suffers. He is prepared to put himself into the position that he has got a greater sin, but the whole kingship doesn't come into disrepute. That is what he's prepared to do.
Then why did he do it in the first place?
And what's Julia's motives for not going home?
How old are you? If a person is, I just want to tell you, a person once came to my uncle Zecher Tzadik Livracha, where my uncle must have been about 85. At least 85, and he said to him, I visit my Kala, he was engaged, I visit my Kala, I live in the house when I'm there, but I want you to understand, it is my uncle, that I've got no feelings, there's nothing goes on, I've got no feelings, that's a good thing, I just stay there. He said, what is your name? Your mother's name? His mother's name. He said, why do you need my mother's name? He said, you're ill. He said, I'm not ill. My uncle's. He said, when I go down to the bus stop, he said, I stand like this, and I'm over 85. Because I have got feelings. And you tell me you've got no feelings, you must be. So you ask him, why I did it? Okay. Are you
122?
In California,
we've got people down
inside.
really? So you don't understand?
I can understand it for me. Being who I am and being young. But of a Melech Yehuda, of David, who is, I would assume, is a Chacham, and who is a Roaz Hanolad, and is saw what can happen from it, which in fact did happen from it.
I'll come to this.
There's a big case of her.
You think that what you make is a very good point. But what I make is a still better point. Even if it doesn't answer your question. But the point is very important. You understand what I'm saying? Well, what is a human being? You've got to know what a Yetzer is a human being. You know the story of Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Akiva, and they were walking Yerushalayim, and they turn a corner, and they come straight to the corner, and he's the most beautiful Roman woman. He comes head on. He can't turn away anymore, he's seen her. My God, do my self, Hashem, that's what he's saying. My God, how great are your works, Hashem. That's what he said.
Who is this?
Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel. He's walking with Rabbi Akiva. So how great, my God, do my self, Hashem. He saw. And he appreciated it. But he was able, Mineu Beit, to turn it into that.
And why wasn't the question really is why wasn't David HaMelech able to do
that? I'm coming to that. But I first have got to get this right.
Why didn't you
do it? Now, I just wanted to hear a say about this. Now, the Gemara is certain about one thing. Exactly how it was working, the Gemara and the Tosfos, we've got some idea already that it was a get was written. Wasn't an anxious ish. All this wasn't an anxious ish. All this is written. So, wrong was it. In the next chapter, Noson comes to him and makes a big fuss about it. David says in one of his psalms, "V'chotosi lefonai tomid, lenegdi somi, v'chotosi lenegdi somi." My sin is always before me. Tomid means that there is no time at all that his sin isn't in front of him. What is it? So what is it? There's a Zohar that said, now, David had a Ruach HaKodesh. You know, I don't want to hurry what I'm telling you. If I hurry what I'm telling you, you won't get the tamtzit of it, you won't get the essence of it. I'll have to leave it here.
No, I can't.
Yeah. It'll take me another few quarters of an hour. I've got to explain that there's a worse thing is being there first and the worst. I've got to explain, we've got it out of my mind, and I've got to explain it to you very great. I'm stopping here and I'm dealing with 2 points. I'm dealing with what is Ruach HaKodesh. Some idea of what is Ruach HaKodesh. What is Nebuah? What is David's relationship with Hashem Yisborah? And this Zohar that I'm telling you about. And it's necessary to understand that in order to have a clear idea of this. But it must be done in a spirit of seriousness and solemnity. Seriousness and solemnity. and in spite of everything he's accused by Lawson, and in spite of everything Dovid does Shubo, in spite of everything, but we see that he does marry her, and we see that he does have a child by her, and the child is Shlomo HaMelech, and the child builds the base of Midrash, and Dovid is not allowed to build the base of Midrash, he's not suitable, but the child is suitable, and all the Malche Yehuda are from Dovid, and the Melech HaMashiach will be from base Dovid. So we see with whom we are dealing here. Philip, do you see what with whom we are dealing here?
I see the tip of the iceberg, yes. I'm
capable
of fully appreciating it.
I know. In Rishonim Kamalochem, Onu Kibnei Odom. Im Hein Kibnei Odom, Onu Kachameurim. And not like the Chameur of Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yoyev, who was particularly intelligent for a chamer, but like an ordinary chamer. That's the difference. So we are. If the early ones were like angels, we are like ordinary people. If they were like ordinary people, we are like donkeys. But the proper donkeys, not mules. Donkeys. And that's the. And I just want to tell you, and the Gemara says that that's from one generation to another generation. From one generation to another generation. And when I look at my teachers, Rabbi Stroyer Salanter said about himself vis-a-vis his teacher Reb Zunder Zalant. He said, I don't even come as high to the height of the sole of his shoe. How many millimeters is that? 2 millimeters? 3 millimeters? He said, I don't even reach that height. Said that he saw a salander.
How is above us?
Said about him soon. That's what he said. Reb Simcha Zisro. With Reb Yisrael Salanter, if Reb Yisrael said about Reb Zundel that he's perhaps 2 millimeters off, I'm sure Reb Simcha Zisrael said that he, with his teacher, was Reb Yisrael Salanter, perhaps 1 millimeter. Perhaps. My uncle, who's a Talmid of Reb Simcha Zisrael, when he spoke about Reb Simcha Zisro, you know, he used to tremble. How can I compare myself to my uncle? But at least I saw it. And at least I experienced it. I knew what I was compared to him. And I could understand it when he told me who he was compared to his teacher. I could understand. Unfortunately, Philip, like so many, hasn't had the good fortune of being exposed to that greatness, which is not his fault or anybody else's fault. But it makes it more difficult. You follow that? It makes it very more difficult. Alright, I'll take the subject further. I'll take the subject further next time. The only I've got a very great difficulty. Next week, I've got to attend Ternoy on Sunday, which means that I won't get out of San Jose until late. And even if I go via San Francisco, I'll still come late.
if you are prepared to come here and work on your own, and there's enough to work on your own here, and I'll come as soon as I can, but it won't be until, it won't be later than 8:30, but I've got to say it's later than 8:30, I'm prepared to do it. Otherwise, I'll come, it'll be 2 weeks from today. Which would you prefer?
May I ask if you have commitments to the other shiur, would you be in Los Angeles anyway?
I'm going to come to Los Angeles in anyway. I'm coming for the Monday morning, the Monday
right.
night. Yes, I'm coming in anyway to Los Angeles.
I would express a preference then if we do go forward.
And
so
you
we don't lose the 3 weeks.
Or I try.
I'll
be here the latest 8:30.
Could we meet later? Could we meet at 8 so we could go a longer time, or would that make you?
That I don't mind. I don't mind that you meet later, then I'll go to 10.
Okay.
I'll go to 10, that I don't mind.
All right.
Well,
we're
going to
meet.
Let us then determine when we meet
next. So we'll meet at 10, we'll meet at 8.
We'll suggest that we meet in times for midnight.
7:30, we can.
7:30,
sharp. 7:30
sharp, though.
Yeah,
right. Sure. I'll come from the airport.
Yeah.
All right?
Okay,
we'll arrange
that. What didn't want to go home? The whole question we have here is why you didn't want to go home.
Oh, yeah.
Tune in next week.
Yeah.